But we do have an amazing young man that's come all the way to us from Australia, Melbourne. He's here today with two of his young people that are in the worship team. They were in our worship team today. And I'm really excited to have Matt here. Matt, I've known him for a number of years. His parents, Deborah and I, have been on the apostolic team together for many years. It's just wonderful to see Matt and Elodie come through, leading a church in Melbourne. And God brings people here for a purpose. It's not, we don't build with guest speakers. We build with people that are going to build into the church. The word says the church is built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus as a cornerstone. And so these are people that we have relationship with. His parents I've known for 25 years and built relationship. So we trust him, and to see Matt and the next generation come through is absolutely fantastic. So I'm looking forward to what he brings this morning. Please open your hearts to receive, and if we just pray, Matt, if you'd like to come up, that would be wonderful, and Paul, if you can do that. Father God, I thank you for this young man, and Lord, what a privilege for us older ones to be able to hand over the baton to the next generation. And Father, our heart is not for them to have to tear down what we've built because we've built badly, but to be able to stand on our shoulders and go further, run harder, Lord God, be more radical than what we could have ever been. And I thank you for every young person that you've put in this church, Lord. Us older ones, Lord, we are not sidelined. We have a huge job to do. To father, to disciple, and to mother the next generation so that they can be part of the transformation of this nation and many nations around the world. So bless Matt. Lord, we receive him as a gift from God. And Lord, open our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good morning. My wife sends her love. She really wishes she could be here to see you guys. We've known Mike and Deb, like Mike said, for a long time, and kind of observed them from afar. You know, they've had a relationship with my parents, and it's been wonderful to stay in their home and get to know them personally. And my wife sends her love. My son, I have a son, Hugo, is 2.5, and our church. I mean, we pray for you guys often. And one of the amazing things of partnering with a team that's working at the moment into over 105 nations worldwide, is that we kind of come and it feels like family. You come from the other side of the world. I mean, Melbourne's almost as far as you can get from Nanaimo. You know, it's like the other side. But it feels like family. And so, you know, I'm so excited to be here, and thank you very much for having us and letting us just kind of come and be a part of what you guys are doing. I'm stoked. And we, you know, as I've been preparing for this time, it's amazing just to hear the words coming through this morning, because I really felt like God was speaking about favor over you. And I mean, the prophetic words that are coming through, you know, just had that kind of vein of God's favor. And just would you open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 4? We spent some time in our prayer meeting last week at home praying for you guys, praying for you as a church. And, you know, I think it's amazing when we get to pray, because we're partnering with what God's doing here. And I always tell our people that your guys' testimony is our testimony, because we're partnering in prayer. And they might never meet you, and you might never meet them, but we have an inheritance together, which is awesome. But there's a couple prophetic words that I felt come through from our prayer meeting. And the first was that I really felt like there was a fresh wind blowing here, that God's doing a new thing, and that Oceanside will be a new wind in this area, a new breed. The second thing, we felt like God's moving you deeper in prophetic insight. That I saw a picture of an eagle with, it had this bright, piercing eyes. And it was able to see the big picture with a clarity, but also to see the minute details, the big picture and the small things. And I felt like God's going to enable you to plan his plans with prophetic insight. God's going to enable you to plan his plans with prophetic insight. Have you found Luke chapter 4? This is Jesus comes to his hometown. There's something of God's favor upon you as a church. So it just resonates with me. And it's something that Jesus begins to speak in this. He comes to his hometown, and he stands up in the synagogue, or in the church that he grew up in. This church that he grew up in, he begins to read from Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. It says, "The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" He's quoting from Isaiah 61, which was a prophecy about himself. Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." There's a list here of some of the things that Jesus has come to do. The good things to study, because they're things that Jesus is doing in us, and the things that as we study and as we apply them, as we minister to others, that we can actually see God work in other people's lives. But there's one thing that I wanted to focus on today, and that was proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Proclaiming God's favor. And you know, when we hear the word favor, I don't know about you, but I think of nice things. I think of approval, acceptance, kindness, maybe support, blessings. But this idea of the year of the Lord's favor carried far more weight than just this idea of something nice. It was something that Jesus' listeners were familiar with when he began to read that. It was actually called the year of Jubilee. And it kind of flies in the face of our cultural upbringing. It's not something that we really understand, because we never see it. And for most people in Jesus' time, it probably only occurred once every 50 years. So maybe once in their lifetime would they see this. But during the year of Jubilee, any Israelite who had sold themselves into slavery to another Israelite was set free. Freedom came in the year of Jubilee. All the land that had been sold reverted back to its original owners, back to the original owner's family. So remember, there was no social welfare. I don't know what your guys' system's like, but in Australia, they have social welfare. So if you don't have a job, they kind of give you benefits. There's no tax breaks. There was no kind of a social health in those times. If my horse kicked me in the leg and I couldn't farm my land, then I was in trouble. And unless my family sold themselves as slaves or servants to someone else, there's probably no other way for me to survive. You know, there wasn't someone to step in and help me out. And so, so most likely if I was in trouble, my wife and kids would go be servants to someone else, you know, to support us. Or I would sell off some of my land. Some of my inheritance would be sold so that I could survive. It's this whole, this is the idea where this year of Jubilee is so amazing. Every 50 years in the year of Jubilee, that which was sold would be returned. Debt was canceled. Your land or your inheritance was returned to you. And even though you might have fallen on hard times, even though you might have made poor decisions or squandered your inheritance, God's grace provided for the return of your inheritance and your freedom. Of course, you still have to work your land. You still have to kind of, you know, put your farming back into practice. Otherwise, you'd end up with no land again. But it's this kind of understanding of this bigger picture that made Jesus' words to his home church so shocking. Not just amazing, but I think shocking, because he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And there's probably a few amens, like, that's a good thing. And then he says, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blinds." And some people probably said, "Preach it, brother. This is good. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And people are probably leaning over to each other saying, "This is good stuff. You know, this Jesus has become a good preacher." So remember, they knew him. He grew up there. He's really communicating well. This is a topic that we like, because this year of Jubilee was probably something they really liked to hear about. They're thinking, "Wow, this is amazing." And then he rolls up the scroll, he gives it back to the attendant. It says, the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Everyone's looking at him saying, "You're just getting started. Tell us about this year of Jubilee. We want to hear more. We want to hear about our freedom. We want to hear about our inheritance being returned. I mean, who doesn't want to hear about freedom and their inheritance being returned? We want to be encouraged today. We want to hear what will happen in the next year of Jubilee. And then he says to them, with every eye fixed, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What? Man, that's almost like blasphemy. He's saying to his home church, I am the year of Jubilee. I am the redemption of the slaves. I am the returning of inheritance. I am the good news to the poor. I am the liberty to the captives. I am the opening of prison doors. If we keep reading in Luke, if we kept reading in that passage, we'd see that it says, while they marveled at his words, they missed his meaning. They didn't understand what he was saying because they were still thinking in natural terms. They were thinking about their actual land getting returned, but Jesus was switching the focus from the natural to the supernatural, from the natural to the spiritual. And it's this shift that we get to celebrate because we don't have a year of Jubilee. We don't get our land returned. If you sell your house, it's sold. You don't get it back every 50 years. If you fall on hard times, you fall on hard times. But Jesus has shifted from the natural to the spiritual. In him, we have that which was only available to the Israelites once every 50 years is available to us in Jesus every day. There's freedom. There's a return of our inheritance. His grace has provided this year of Jubilee, this favor for us. Now is your year of favor, and it's available to you through redemption in Jesus. Jesus shifted the focus from the natural to the supernatural, and through his death and his resurrection, he took that event that was only available once every 50 years and made it available to everyone in him. He has redeemed us from slavery and given us our inheritance back. That's what we celebrate. So now you, everyone here, has a rich inheritance available to you. Now, when we don't know about our inheritance, we end up living in survival mode. Imagine if you had $1 million inheritance, a $10 million inheritance sitting in a bank account, but you never knew about it. And you lost your job, and you fell on hard times, and you were sick, and your car broke down, and your house was getting repossessed. But you didn't know you had an inheritance sitting in a bank account. You end up living in survival mode because you don't know what's available to you. All you had to do was go to the bank and say, I'd like to make a withdrawal. That's what happens when we don't understand all that's available to us in Jesus. We end up living in survival mode, just trying to get by, rather than saying, Lord, thank you for what you've made available to me. If we're going to be a people of impact, if we're going to grow into maturity, if we're going to walk into all that God has for us, if we're going to allow that fresh wind to blow through Oceanside Church and not only impact Vancouver Island, but all of Canada, like that picture we saw this morning, we have to understand who we are in Christ. We have to understand and live in our inheritance. See, when we don't know who we are in Christ, all we're thinking about is just trying to make it, just trying to get by. And the pressure often results in us making poor decisions. I don't know about you, but you know, when you're under, I found when I'm under pressure and I'm not kind of thinking about what I have in Christ, sometimes I can make poor decisions. You can rush, you can kind of jump to the wrong conclusion. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, you've gained an inheritance and the power to die to your old ways. And not only to die to your old ways, but to rise to newness of life, to begin to actually walk in that which is available to you. And you received a new identity. You know, one of the keys to maturity, to impact, to increase, to success, to being effective in advancing the kingdom, is to know who we are in Christ. It's to settle our identity. To do that, we have to understand this thing of favor. We have to understand the favor that Jesus has made available to us. To do that, we have to understand the key. I think this thing of favor is a key for us to walk in all that God has for us. This thing of favor is a key if we're going to lead people and point people to Jesus. Because remember, he's made the shift from the natural to the spiritual. This is available to people. If we're going to point people to our saving King, to the one who's redeemed us, we want to know who we are in Him and who they can be in Him. Today, I want to look at a few things that you've gained as an inheritance from God through Jesus. I want you to see today, I want us to see what favor looks like. I want you to see what your favor looks like. Because I think when we grasp this, when we begin to live in it, it will bring new levels of freedom and confidence. When we begin to grasp this and live in it, it will transform the way you minister to others. It will transform you. It'll transform the people around you. I want you to see who you are and what you have in Christ. I want to be reminded who I am and what I have in Christ. So what have you gained as an inheritance? This one's not open. I can drink this one. Every now and then, I just have to, at our church, you know, you'll pick up a bottle of water and you go to drink it and you realize it's been there for like 4 weeks. And the lid's off and it's kind of got like that layer of dust on the top. You just want to check the lids on before you drink someone else's water. So what have you gained? What have we gained as an inheritance through Jesus? What does favor look like? What does the favor that we're walking in look like for us? Firstly, the first thing that you've gained is a loving Father. You know, Romans 8, verse 16 to 18 says this: "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we might also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." See, even if you've never had a father, if your father was abusive, if he was absent, in Jesus, you don't just get a new father. You get a loving father. There's a security that comes in that. And if you haven't had a father, that's something that you might not be able to understand. But you can actually say to God, you know what? I don't know what this feels like. I don't actually know, you know, I don't understand what this guy from Australia is talking about with the mixed up accent. I was born in L.A., don't hold it against me. I moved to Australia when I was 11, but I have this, you know, mixed up accent, which, Mike has a mixed up accent as well, so you guys are probably pretty good at understanding some different accents. But you know that we're all called to be ministers in the kingdom, to minister to others. And as ministers, there's a security that comes from God the Father that we can't find anywhere else. If we don't understand the security, we're always going to be kind of trying to strive for something, trying to earn something. You know, when I first moved into my own house, I was amazed at how often in the middle of the night I would wake up and hear sounds. You know, like the house creaks a little bit, the temperature changes, the wind blows, and I was awake and I was like, "What's that?" Probably for like a month, like every night, you know, you hear every noise. And I thought, I've never woken up like this before. I realized that when I lived at home, my dad was there. And I didn't have to worry about it because there was security from having him there. If there was a noise, he'd deal with it. His bedroom was near the front door. If someone was coming in, hopefully he'd deal with it. And I didn't care and I slept like a baby. But then, then you're in your own place and he's not there anymore. And I realized the security that comes from a loving father. I realized that he brought security to my life. And that's just a fraction of the security that comes from our heavenly Father. You know, you can cast your fears on him today. You know, we can respond to God even as I'm speaking this morning. There's going to be time to respond, but even as I'm speaking, if this is touching you, you can cast your fears on him and say, "Lord, be my heavenly Father, my loving Father." Secondly, through Jesus, you've received peace. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Not only does he take away our fear, but he gives us peace. Not only does he give us security in being our loving Father, but he gives us his peace. Peace is part of our inheritance. It's part of the package. We can claim that peace in times of turmoil and upheaval. You know, as followers of Jesus, we often face times of turmoil. The Bible calls it suffering. It's kind of those scriptures that we like to skim over at times. because it doesn't make us feel real good. So, you know, they're not the nicest scriptures to preach on, because nobody likes to hear that you're going to suffer. But the Bible says that as followers of Christ, we're going to have hardship. There's going to be hard times. There will be times where we suffer, but he gives us his peace. You know, as followers of Jesus, there's times where people are diagnosed with cancer, where someone loses a child, where, you know, where the unexplicable happens, where someone that you thought was a friend confesses an area of sin to you, where finances dry up and you don't know where your next meal is coming from, where someone leaves the church, where someone brings a lawsuit against you. There's times of hardship, but it's in these times, in the very midst of the storm, that we can claim the peace of God. It's part of our inheritance. Thirdly, what does favor look like? We have a guide who knows the future and guides us into truth. A guide who knows the future and guides us into truth. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will give you into all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. I love that we serve a God who's not surprised. God's not sitting on his throne in heaven going, wow, didn't see that one coming. Oh, that one was a surprise. He's not surprised. He knows what's coming our way. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going to face. And he's given you his Spirit to be with you in that, to guide you into all truth. It's part of our inheritance. It's part of who we are and what we have in Christ. Fourthly, eternal life. Eternal life. Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. We're reminded again that this is not our home. As much as you guys probably live in the most beautiful place in the whole world, this is not your home. I love it. We were able to spend some time out in nature yesterday and go walking in the forest and out on the boat. And it's just, I mean, honestly, you guys don't know how good you have it. This is one of the most beautiful places in the whole world. But this is not our home. We look forward with a hope because our home is in heaven. Our hope is in eternity. So even if we're facing hardship right now, we have hope because it's in eternity. We have eternal life. It doesn't end right here. So we sacrifice now what the world holds as valuable for the sake of eternity. I live in Melbourne, Australia, and my parents and my brother live in Denver. All of my extended family lives in the U.S. I have one other brother in Melbourne. And so I don't have any family around. But you know what? I'm happy to sacrifice now that which the world holds as most valuable. You know, the world would say, I should take my family and move to where my parents are. You know, be with family. Be with those that are closest. But I'm sacrificing that now because I know that this isn't my home. That my hope is in heaven, in eternity, and therefore that's where my reward is. And so when we have a loved couple who's been a part of this church for 13 years and God's moving him on, they're sacrificing friendship. They're sacrificing some relationships, but this isn't their home. Their home is in heaven. Fifthly, what do we have in Jesus? What does this favor look like? Healing. Healing in him. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, talking about Jesus, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Part of our inheritance is healing. It's one of those things that we can claim, that we can stand upon. We'll see the fullness of that healing in eternity, because this isn't our home. We see the fullness of that when we go to be with him, but we can stand on the truth now that God is a healing God. We can claim that now by the blood of Jesus, we can be healed. If you pray for someone and they're not healed, does that mean that Jesus doesn't love them? Absolutely not, because ultimately, in eternity, they're going to be fully healed. But we stand on that truth now, and we pray for the sick with faith that we serve a healing God. These are the things that are available to us, and that I think we need to be teaching others. You know, every one of you, as you grasp this, you can share this with somebody else. It's not just Mike or Paul who can share this with other people. All of you, in your workplace, in your schools. This is what you have in Jesus. And so often we settle for less. We just scrape by. When we understand this, we grasp the fullness of it. Joy, John 15:11. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. You know that when we're in Christ, living according to his pattern, there is fullness of joy. We don't have to settle for depression. We don't have to settle for just being down all the time. You know that I understand there is some, sometimes there's chemical imbalances and we need help and we need doctor's involvement, but we don't have to settle for a lack of joy because in Jesus, we have fullness of joy. The circumstances around us don't have to determine our joy level. The circumstances around you this week don't have to determine your joy level. I just felt like that's for someone this morning. What you face this week and today doesn't have to determine your level of joy. Protection, number 7. Protection, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. You shall refute every tongue that rises up against you in judgment. This is the heritage, the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication or their righteousness is from me, declares the Lord. The Bible also says that he'll place a hedge of protection around us, that he commands his angels concerning us. You know, I understand the value of this far more that I'm leading a church now than I ever did before. You know, when the enemy comes against you, know that part of your inheritance is Jesus' protection. There's a story in the Bible of guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three dudes with really crazy names. But basically, they stood up for Jesus. They stood up for God. They said, we're not going to bow down to idols. And they got thrown into a furnace that was so fiery, it was so hot, that the guards that threw them in actually spontaneously combusted. They just caught on fire. But it actually says when they looked into the furnace, they saw a fourth person in there. His face was like an angel. Jesus was in the fire with them, protecting them. They came out and not even their clothes smelled like smoke. The clothes didn't even smell like smoke, yet they were in a fire that was so hot, it made others just spontaneously combust. That's not just a story that we go, wow, that's cool, let's teach it to the kids. Remember that Jesus has shifted from the natural to the spiritual. When you're in the fire that feels so hot that you feel like those around you are just combusting and going up in flames, Jesus is with you in the fire. He's not in heaven saying, well, I'll just kind of, hopefully they'll be all right. He's there with you. He's walking in the flames with you. Number 8, confidence. It's part of our inheritance, is what favor looks like. John, 1 John 2:28, and says, and now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence, not shrinking from him in shame at his coming. If you're going to lead anything, if you're going to minister to anyone, you need the confidence that comes from God. You know, everything around you in this world is set up to either steal your confidence or get you to place your confidence in something else. It's set up to either tear you down and steal your confidence and steal your self-esteem, or to get you to place your confidence in something that is temporary and not eternal. In your possessions, in your house, in your job, in your finances, in your relationships, in the people that are around you, rather than in Jesus who is in heaven, where our home is, which is eternal, and whether all these things are gone or not, he's still there, he remains. This is part of our inheritance. Let this build you up today. Let this bring confidence to you that it's in him. 9. I've only got a few more left. 9th, provision. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is part of our inheritance. If you're without a job today, this is part of your inheritance. God will provide. You know, the problem is so often in our Western culture, We have no idea what lack is really like. Yeah, we're fed, we're clothed, we have shelter. You know, we don't really understand lack. So when we don't get to go out for a meal 3 times a week, we think, well, you know, God's not providing for me. You know, our perspective is a little bit warped. But God provides. God will not leave you or forsake you. This is for someone today. God provides financially for us. We have never taken a team. I was saying to Mike yesterday, this is the first time I've ever traveled with a team where we've actually paid for our tickets up front. Like, we've actually had the money for it. We take teams into Indonesia and into New Zealand and the islands and teams of, you know, 10, 15 young people, and we've never once had everyone have the money for their tickets up front. There's always been someone who just goes, I feel like God said to go, but I have nothing. I've got $50. Is that enough for a deposit? Sure. The travel agent's like, yeah, we'll take your $50. If you don't pay, we'll keep it. And every single time, God provides. Every single time, God provides. The ability to overcome temptation. This is a big one. It's part of our inheritance. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not uncommon to man. God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But when temptation, with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you might be able to endure it. I was thinking that overcoming temptation, I think, is a key to walking in the power of the Spirit. See, in Luke 4, it says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and returned from the Jordan. He's just been baptized. It says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And something happened in the wilderness when he was there. Jesus is fasting, praying, and being tempted by the devil. You know, so often when we think we're fasting and praying, of course we're just getting closer to God. You know, we're getting, the devil can't touch us. He's, you know. Jesus, 40 days, fasting, praying, and being tempted. It just kind of jumped out at me recently. And something happened. So the devil tempted him in every area, but mainly in these three areas. His provision, his physical needs, his pride. Is it about my glory or God's glory? And his position. Am I really a son of God? The same thing he tempts us in. The interesting is this. It says in verse 1, he went full of the Spirit. It says he fasted, he prayed, and he overcame temptation. It says in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He went full, he returned in the power of the Spirit. I think part of our inheritance is the ability to overcome temptation, and overcoming temptation releases the power of the Spirit to us. We need the power of the Spirit if we're going to impact those around us. We need the power of the Spirit if we're going to show what God's favor looks like to those in our workplaces and those in our schools and those that we come into contact with. Are you overcoming temptation, or is temptation overcoming you? I think it's a key. Got two more. Number 11, a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, or of self-control. We can stand on the truth of this. Number 12, he's given us wisdom. He's given us wisdom. James 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Not just who gives you a little bit, but who gives generously. I started to also put love on this list. But then I kind of realized that God's always loved us. So even before we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he's always loved us. So it's actually not part of our inheritance in Jesus. He just loves us because he loves us, because we're his creation, which is kind of cool. Romans 5 verse 8 says, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He always loved us, but he shows us his love that he's given us a way to be restored to relationship with him. this is what God's favor looks like. This is what we're called to proclaim to the poor in spirit, to the brokenhearted, to the captives, to the prisoners, to the downcast, to the lost, to the hurting. This is what you are called to proclaim to the people around you. This is what favor looks like. And as I prayed for you guys, I just felt like God say, I'm pouring my favor upon them. He's pouring his favor upon you. This is what favor looks like. This is the inheritance that we can boldly walk in. Not do I have it or do I not have it. If you're in Christ, this is all available to us. Walking in all that God has for us, impacting those around us, starts with this right understanding of who we are in Christ and helping others understand who they are in Christ. It sounds overly simplistic, but I mean, I love that sometimes the gospel is simplistic. It's not complicated. We make it complicated because we don't actually believe all the time that what God says is ours is actually ours. So we complicate it and we add stuff and we go, I'm sure I've got to do something to get that. This isn't complicated. It's what favor looks like. Can I challenge you to hold fast to your inheritance? Can I challenge you, if you don't understand an aspect of your inheritance, then pray and ask God to reveal it to you. You might say, you know what? 11 of those 12 things I've got, but there's just one thing that I'm struggling with. Today, God wants to reaffirm for you it's part of your inheritance. You know, when God's word is sown in our hearts, we begin to understand it, it brings abundance to our lives. From that abundance, not only are we blessed, but we can overflow and bless those around us. From that abundance, when his word is sown into our hearts and it begins to take root and bear fruit in our lives, we can sow that across to other people. We give that to those around us. We bless the other people around us. And I asked this morning if you'd stand with me. So what if I pray? If we're going to grow in maturity, if we're going to impact and minister to others, then the favor of God, the freedom and the inheritance that's available to us in Christ is vital. It's vital. But you know the very first part of that? Is actually coming into relationship with Jesus. The very first step. Because you can hear this, go, yeah, that sounds good, but unless Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can't walk in that. One of the things I love most about being able to preach in other churches is that I don't know you guys. I mean, I hope that we'll get to know you, but I don't know whether this is your first week here, whether you've been here for 15 years. I don't know whether you are a faithful follower of Jesus, whether you are mature, or whether this is your very first week and you came in here totally terrified, having no idea what was going to happen. Can I ask that we just close our eyes? It's not a more spiritual thing to do, just so we're not distracted, because I want to give an opportunity that if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have relationship with him, to respond to him today, because he wants to open up favor to you. He wants to restore you to relationship with Jesus. And it's as simple as this. It's as simple as saying, you know what? I've done wrong things. It's what the Bible calls sin. Would you come into my life? I'm sorry for those things that I've done. Would you be the Lord of my life? I submit my life to you. If that's you today, I'm just going to ask, would you lift your hand up real high? Because I would love to pray for you. I would love to introduce you to Jesus. I'm not going to call you out the front. I just would love to pray for you if your hand's up. Thank you. It won't take forever. We're just going to give a minute. This is the very first step of response for us today. Cool. Thank you. For the rest of us, I'd like to pray. I'd like us to respond this morning because, like I said, you know, there might be one area, there might be all 12 of those things that you just think, actually, you know, I need a revelation of that. I need the reality of that in my life. I need to see God as my heavenly Father. I need his peace in my life. I stand on the truth of his provision. I claim that sound mind. I claim that ability to overcome temptation. And so, Lord, this morning, I ask, would you reveal the fullness of our inheritance, Lord, so that we can share it with others, so that we can live in it, so that we can overflow. Lord, would you, Lord, just bestow your favor upon this church, Lord, as you already have in what we have in you. Lord, would you reaffirm that? Lord, would Oceanside Church be a church that overflows your favor to the community around? Lord, if there's people here that are struggling in some of these areas, I proclaim your freedom today in Jesus' name. Freedom. Freedom to walk into the fullness of inheritance. I speak release right now in Jesus' name, right across this room. Release right now. Let freedom come. Let freedom come right now. Lord, would this church be a church of impact? Of impact. Would every person, not just a few, not just a handful, every person, Lord, walk in the fullness of your favor and of who they are in you. Lord, I thank you that this is a new season for this church. Lord, I thank you for the impact that they're having, but the increased impact that they're going to have. Work, Lord. Work, Lord. Increased impact. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. If you could be seated for a moment. Church, I'm always overwhelmed at, if the worship team could please come forward, we're going to end with some worship, but I'm always overwhelmed at how God, when Jesus says he will build his church, he doesn't mean one congregation or one denomination. He means his church, united. Many streams, the word of God says in Psalm 46, will flow as one river. And I love the variety in the church. I love the styles of worship in different churches. But God is bringing us to one. And the last two sermons I preached in this church were on identity and authority. Really. Understanding who you are so that you know what you are in Christ. And the key scripture was that Romans 8, his first scripture that he put up there, being heirs, co-heirs. And the last scripture I used was that Romans 5:8, that whilst we were still sinners, man from around the world had no idea what he was going to preach. We've hung out, I know him well. I trust him, so I don't have to ask him. I know he's hearing God. And he comes and he just brings another facet. It's like a diamond. You know, I see it one way, and I'm sitting here and saying, that is absolutely amazing and phenomenal. And God brings these in. Church, God is speaking. In James 1, it says this: do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. There's a big deception in the North American church, I believe, and the First World Church, and this is that. We feel that because we've heard it, we're actually doing it. We hear a message, and we think, well, that was great, I feel good. And next week we hear another one, and that was great. James says that is deception, that we have to take what God is saying. And if God is saying he wants to establish our identity of who we are in Christ, the things that God has for us, so that he can release his authority. Because if we don't understand who we are, when God says step forward into something, we think we've got to do it in our own strength and our own ability, and we step out of that because I can't do it. Exactly, you can't do it. But in Christ, we have the incomparably great power for us who believe. And so, church, I would ask you, not because I preach them, because this is like the third message in the same kind of series, done extremely well and way better than I can. But God is speaking the same thing. He wants to release His favor. He wants to release His authority. And He wants to release His power. But it takes us knowing who we are in Christ and what we have. And when we can stand on that, when the storms come, we can stand. In that Romans, it says, when we share, we are heirs, co-heirs, if indeed we share in His suffering, so that we can share in His glory. And I was meeting with Roland and Mark, and Roland just gave another little tweak. He says, sharing in His suffering, not in ours. Some of the suffering we go through is fires we've lit ourselves. And we say, well, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, we're suffering because of our stupidity. And this consequence, I've overspent, I've done stuff. And God will help us through that. But the sufferings of Christ, are when we're standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're declaring the gospel, the enemies ain't happy about that. But He's with us, and we have authority, and we have power. Whether we started the fires ourselves, or whether it's started by somebody else, He will walk us through them. And that's what we live in. And so consider this, church, please. God has brought Matt here to bring this word and to confirm what He's wanting to do. And so let's take it seriously. Amen? Yeah. Amen. While we worship a little bit, if you need to go, God bless you. But for me, there's something about the water of the Spirit coming to water the seed that's been sown. Because, you know, the birds of the air can come. We walk out that door and you get a call and it's a chaos and you forgot it. It's stolen. It's stolen from us. And so we're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come and just confirm that word in you. And then if you'd like to come and share in the table while we do this, you're welcome. We'll have some people stand up here, just take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and share communion with our God. So Father God, I thank You for this amazing word. I thank You for Matt and his church. Lord, I thank You for what he's doing there, Lord. You're doing there in that church, Lord. I thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Two things. Deborah and I will be away for the next 2 weeks with Matt and the team. People from 105 different countries, or nearly that, will be meeting in Denver, just hearing from God. So pray for us as we strategize globally together for what God is doing. And then the other thing is, on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at the hospital, there's been tremendous, there's been an increase in suicides and psychological issues with young people that in the hospital that is beyond the natural. It's just been an increase, and we want to go and prayer walk around that hospital at 6 o'clock. And so we're going to meet in the Beaufort Center, which is across the road. Johan and Ronelle, can you stand up, please? Johan oversees the prayer and the corporate prayer in the church, and so you'll see their faces there. Come there at 6 o'clock, and he will tell you what needs to be done. And we're just going to cover that hospital and the grounds with the presence and the glory of God. And we need to start breaking these things over our young people in the city. We want to see them full of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Amen. So please be there if you can. God bless you. Let's stand. Amen.